Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
On July 25th, 2015, in Gary, Indiana, 21-year-old Diamond Bynum laid down for a nap with her 2-year-old nephew, King Walker. Diamond's stepmother, Suzanne, also dozed off. But what started out as a nice, easy day turned into a nightmare when Suzanne woke up and found that she was alone in the house. For many, this may not have immediately set off alarm bells, but Diamond was developmentally disabled and wasn't permitted to care for King alone. Suzanne immediately called Diamond's father and started a search, but despite early sightings, the pair didn't turn up. Now, 10 years later, the Bynum-Walker family is still searching for answers, and are still trying to bring their loved ones home. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Diamond Bynum and King Walker. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Kona.
And I'm Ethan.
And we're the husband and wife team behind this podcast. Each week, I tell you the story of an unsolved missing persons case. Ethan doesn't know anything about the case going into the episode and is here to provide his reactions and questions in real time, hopefully asking some of the same ones you have at home. Today's story is baffling. It's a situation that seems like it should have been resolved quickly. After all, Diamond and King seemingly left on foot, and she did know her father's phone number by heart, but somehow the pair managed to disappear nearly without a trace. And while it has received a fair amount of media attention over the years, critical opportunities were missed in the investigation's early days, and as a result, Diamond and King remain missing a decade later. Before we dive into Diamond and King's story, though, we'd like to thank our newest Patreon supporters, V, Rita P, Helen C, and, this was a fun surprise, my aunt, Kathy W. And I usually don't do additional shout-outs, but she did text me and asked me to mention Sarah and her two sisters. Apparently, they got on a podcast conversation, and she told them about the show, and now they listen all the time. So, shout-out Sarah and your sisters. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you to Aunt Kathy and everyone else who joined the Patreon. And if you'd like to join them, you can head over to Patreon and join at any level, starting at just $2 a month for ad-free episodes and a free copy of the ebook that I wrote. So with all of that out of the way, let's talk about Diamond Bynum and King Walker. Diamond Daisy Bobby Monet Bynum was born on February 18, 1994, to LaShawn Walker and Eugene Bynum. In 2015, she was 21 years old and lived in Gary, Indiana, with her father and stepmother, Suzanne Bynum. Diamond was born with Prader-Willi syndrome, PWS. It's a rare genetic disorder that affected her physical and mental development. Individuals with PWS often experience developmental delays, intellectual disabilities, short stature, and chronic feelings of hunger, all traits that Diamond shared. In Diamond's case, her family said that she functioned at the level of roughly a 5 to 7 year old child. She stood about 4'8" tall and weighed around 210 pounds. She also walked with a pronounced limp due to a bowed leg. Despite her challenges, Diamond was known for her sweet, bubbly personality and her infectious smile. She was also always eager to spend time with family, especially little King. King Walker was Diamond's nephew, the son of Diamond's sister, Ariana Walker, and Josh Williams. King was an active, playful toddler who loved to run around. He lived with his mother in Chicago, but would often visit his grandparents, Diamond's father and stepmother, on the weekends, giving Diamond plenty of time to dote on him, which she absolutely loved to do. Diamond adored her nephew, and as her mother, LaShawn Walker, told reporters, quote, she always loved taking care of little people that are smaller than her, end quote.
That's cute.
Yeah. However, because of Diamond's condition, she never cared for King alone without adult supervision. Diamond's cognitive disabilities and her constant food-seeking urges meant that she required routine and oversight. She also took daily medications for behavioral management, and without them, she could become impulsive or even pose a danger to herself. In short, Diamond was vulnerable. She was a young woman with the mind of a child, and King was just a toddler, making them both especially defenseless if they ever wandered off on their own. In early 2015, Diamond's family had moved from Hammond, Indiana, to a new home in the 500 block of Matthew Street in Gary. In Hammond, Diamond was familiar with the neighborhood and was somewhat known to neighbors. If she ever roamed outside alone in Hammond, neighbors would notice and guide her safely home. But Gary was new territory. Diamond hadn't yet learned her way around town, and few people there knew her. More importantly, they weren't aware of her condition or its implications, which would unfortunately prove to be significant in what happened next. On Saturday, July 25th, 2015, Diamond and King were together at home in Gary. King was there for a weekend visit. His mother, Ariana, was reportedly taking a class in Chicago that day, so King's grandparents were babysitting him. That morning, the household followed a typical routine. According to family, around 10 a.m., Suzanne put 2-year-old King down for a nap, and Diamond, who was in an upbeat mood anticipating her dad's birthday the next day, laid down to nap alongside the toddler. Suzanne herself eventually dozed off as well. And everything was quiet, until she woke up around 11 a.m. and found that Diamond and King were nowhere in the house.
Where was the stepfather? Was he like at work or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Panicked, Suzanne searched each room in the yard, calling out their names. The front door of the house was closed, but it's believed that Diamond and King walked out of the home on foot sometime between 10:20 a.m. and 11 a.m. while Suzanne slept. There were no signs of forced entry and no disturbance or struggle. Just two vulnerable people who were suddenly gone. Suzanne ran outside and scanned the street, expecting to spot Diamond and King only a few houses away. But the sidewalks were empty. Immediately, she phoned Eugene at work, who rushed home at once. After a frantic but fruitless search of the immediate neighborhood, the family contacted Gary police to report Diamond and King missing. Given Diamond's limitations, it initially seemed unlikely that she would wander far. She had mobility issues. Her limp prevented her from walking very fast or far distances, and King was only 2. I'm sure he could have taken off quickly.
Yeah.
But toddlers aren't known for their stamina, you know, on long distances, right?
Yeah. They're runners for sure.
But not long distance runners.
They give up after a bit.
Exactly. Diamond also knew not to open the door to strangers or go off without permission. And again, it is doubtful that if somebody had knocked on the door or rung the bell or whatever, that Suzanne wouldn't have woken up.
That she wouldn't have heard it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like that is what happened. In fact, it was uncharacteristic for Diamond to go more than a few blocks from home on her own. Now, if King somehow toddled outside, Diamond's instinct would be to follow him to keep him safe, but nobody really thought that she would have gone like chasing him miles and miles away. Plus, one of the few reasons why Diamond might ever wander away somewhere was to look for something to eat.
Yeah, that's what my thought was, that they both woke up and King said something about being hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Diamond obviously has that condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pair wandered off somewhere to look for food.
Right. And I think that that makes sense on its face. The issue is that the household kitchen was full because the family had just gone grocery shopping, and even Diamond's favorite chocolate cake sat untouched on the counter.
Mm.
This made them doubt that hunger lured her out on that particular morning. It appeared as though Diamond and King had simply walked away and then just vanished into thin air. Are you planning a trip abroad this year? Imagine how much better your travel experience could be if you could speak the language. With Rosetta Stone, you'll gain the confidence to have real conversations and create deeper connections wherever you go. Rosetta Stone is the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years. Their immersive, intuitive method helps you naturally absorb and retain your new language on desktop or mobile, whenever and wherever it fits your schedule. One of my favorite places to visit is Spain, and as it turns out, my 3 years of high school Spanish does not quite cut it over there. And that's what's great about Rosetta Stone. You can learn faster and retain longer. They immerse you in your new language naturally, which helps you think and communicate with confidence. There are no English translations, so you truly learn to speak, listen, and think in your chosen language. So don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. And Then They Were Gone listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today. I work from home, so it drives me crazy when my house is a mess, but I don't really have the time or the mental energy to keep it looking as clean as I want. That's why I'm so glad that HomeAglow exists. They're a top-rated home service platform that's dedicated to making your space clean and tidy. And what I love is their flexibility and how easy it is to use. They have online booking capabilities that allow you to instantly schedule a cleaner in your area for a special occasion, party, or for regular cleaning. Cleaners pass a rigorous certification process and maintain a 4.8-star average platform rating. It's a fantastic way to support cleaners in your community, and 100% of cleaning fees and tips go directly to your cleaner. To schedule a cleaning, you simply go to HomeAglow's website to choose the day and time you're looking for and the duration of your cleaning to match with the cleaner. The best part is their Forever Clean membership, which saves you $30 an hour on all future cleanings. You can book unlimited cleanings starting at $19 an hour backed by HomeAglow's happiness guarantee. Take home cleaning off your plate this fall by using HomeAglow. Head to homeaglow.com/ATTWG to get your first 3 hours of cleaning for only $19. That's HomeAglow.com/ATTWG. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends, and they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. Even better, you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code ATTWG. We've been advertising Mood for a while. They've been really good to us. And after trying some of their gummies, it is wild how different each one feels. Those sleepy time gummies will knock you out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. They've got immune support, menopause relief, PMS, mental clarity, sexual arousal, and all of them use federally legal cannabis. And it's all grown on small family-owned American farms. And they can ship to most states in the U.S. And best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code ATTWG. So head to Mood.com and remember, use promo code ATTWG at checkout to save 20% on your first order. Did you know that a single finger prick at home can give you over 180 personalized insights into how to improve your health and slow your aging? If you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that I tried the True Age and True Health test by True Diagnostic, and it showed me things I never learned from my regular physicals. True Health looks at over 105 biomarkers tied to your nutritional, metabolic, immune, and cognitive health. You'll see your vitamin levels, your nutrient balance, inflammation, gut health, and more. True Age measures 75 plus biomarkers to reveal your biological age, your pace of aging, and the age of key organ systems. It doesn't just give you a single number, it shows how your heart, brain, liver, and immune system are all aging. Together, the combo gives you a complete picture of your health today, along with personalized recommendations to improve your health and slow down aging. For me, it really inspired me to work on my cardiovascular health. It's so hard to get answers at the doctor's office, so I loved getting this report that had so much information on it. If you're serious about living healthier and longer, visit truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG for 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com, code ATTWG for 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Gary Police responded quickly, but according to the family, not fervently enough. For instance, an Amber Alert wasn't issued, likely because it wasn't believed that Diamond had abducted King.
Yeah, but this is a critical missing person.
Exactly.
That has, you know, specific conditions that make them vulnerable if they're missing.
I know. And so a Silver Alert was issued, which is the alert for missing endangered adults or children. They issued that describing Diamond and King and their unique circumstances, but apparently that didn't happen until a month after their disappearance.
That's a little late then.
Yeah. And I, for the life of me, cannot figure that out at all. Like, I do not understand why that wasn't done immediately on day one.
Yeah, it should have been.
It absolutely should have been. And that was obviously a huge missed opportunity, as we'll really see in a moment. But if anybody were to see them walking around, it seems like a woman with a small child walking around. Like, nobody's going to notice that. Nobody's going to think that's weird because they don't know about their circumstances. And so without that information, nobody's going to call that in.
Right. And if the alert had been issued early, people that had seen them probably would have remembered seeing them because of her pronounced limp.
Exactly. Yes, that's a great point. And again, at 4'8", that's noticeably short.
Yes.
It's so frustrating looking back on this a decade later and just seeing that this simple, basic thing was not done when it should have been done. That could have made all of the difference in the world.
Do we have any explanation as to why it wasn't put out right away?
I don't know. So in the meantime, family, volunteers, neighbors, and law enforcement began combing the area. Search teams went door to door through the neighborhood, passing out flyers with Diamond and King's photos. Many intensive searches were organized in the following days and weeks. People scoured abandoned houses, vacant lots, alleys, and wooded areas around Gary where a lost woman and toddler might wander. The Gary Police Department, Gary Fire Department, and even FBI personnel assisted in search efforts at various points. Though Diamond and King's family has said that the FBI was never truly officially involved, which is one of the criticisms that they have about this. Given Diamond's limited range, searchers focused within a few mile radius of the home, figuring that the two couldn't have gone far on foot. And I do want to stop here and talk briefly about abandoned buildings, because from what I understand at the time and maybe now, but definitely at the time, Gary was riddled with them. Diamond and King's family thought that there was a decent chance that they could have wandered into one of them, either seeking shelter or food. And abandoned buildings like that are scary. And family members described being terrified of what they might find inside, but they went anyway. Early on, there were a handful of potential sightings that gave the family hope. Several witnesses in the region reported seeing a young woman with a small child matching Diamond and King's description. For instance, one tip placed them at a bus stop in nearby Hammond, Indiana, and another claimed they were seen at a McDonald's in Gary not long after the disappearance. Police followed up on these reports, and the McDonald's sighting does seem to be accurate. But employees, not knowing that the pair was missing or in trouble or anything, gave them food. And then the people assuming to be Diamond and King left.
This was 2015?
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm assuming that the McDonald's has surveillance footage. Like, did the police review any of that?
You know, that's a good question. And I don't recall reading anything about surveillance footage at the McDonald's. I do know that there was a gas station that they were also potentially seen at, and they were having trouble getting the surveillance footage from the gas station. But yeah, I'm not exactly sure about the McDonald's footage.
The bus stop in Hammond is interesting.
Yeah, that one's a little iffier. I don't know if that's an accurate sighting.
Well, it's interesting to me because, as you said, she needed routine. She liked to be familiar with her settings.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if she wandered off in search of food,
mm-hmm.
went to McDonald's, they got food, mm-hmm. and then she wanted to go home to Hammond because yeah. she was confused about where she was and somehow managed to get on a bus to Hammond.
Yeah, maybe. But that's the thing. I don't know if she had any money with her. She would have been able to get on a bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But that's a good point. Despite these sightings, weeks passed without Diamond and King coming home.
Should we also assume that the police checked out the sex offender registry in the neighborhood?
Yes. And that is something that we can talk about more when we get to theories. But there were a lot of them. Like within a 1 mile radius of the house. I want to say 70.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't move to Gary.
Yeah. A lot of sex offenders in the immediate vicinity, for sure. The investigation, as you can imagine, then turned toward possible foul play. About 3 weeks into the case, in August 2015, Gary police announced that they were seeking a person of interest, Terrence D. Williams, known by the nickname Dollar. Williams was a local man who lived near the Bynum family's home. Authorities did not label him a suspect, but they believed that he may have information about Diamond and King's disappearance and asked the public for help locating him. Now, this development, naming Terrence Williams as a person of interest, was welcomed by the family. King's mother, Arianna Walker, told reporters, quote, "It gives us hope because we haven't had any real leads in a week. Knowing that they're getting closer is definitely helpful." End quote. And I get that. I mean, at that point, like anything, you know, especially a name, like that's fantastic. I would love to hear that, even if it's obviously not a good context. At least it's something to go on, potentially.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious as to why they zeroed in on this guy, though.
Well, so was everybody else, because police never said. So despite identifying Williams as someone they wanted to question, police did not publicly disclose why or what connection he might have had to the family. But King's father is Joshua Williams, so it's possible that the two are related, and maybe police thought this could perhaps be some sort of familial abduction situation. However, Diamond's relatives, and I don't know what relatives specifically, said that they did not recognize the name or know this man at all. And that could be because they don't know Josh Williams very well. Because again, I don't know what type of relationship Arianna and Josh had, you know? So I don't know if like Arianna's family ever knew him or knew his family or anything like that. So it could be they just simply do not know if this man was related to Josh. Or it could be that Williams is a pretty common name.
It is.
And the two are completely unrelated.
Right.
In either case, the Dollar Williams lead did not produce any breakthrough. Whether he was ever located and interviewed remains unclear from public reports, but no arrests were made in relation to it. Now, I did find him and do a little bit of a background check on him, and he does have a bit of a criminal history since 2015. You know, nothing crazy like abduction or, you know, murder or anything like that. But the point is that he's somebody who's known to police and has been in the system. So I have to believe that sometime in the past 10 years, they kind of knew where he was and were able to talk to him.
I mean, one would hope that they interviewed him.
One would hope, yes.
But did they ever announce that he was no longer a person of interest or anything at all about him?
No.
So they just announced that he's a person of interest. They sought out the public's help in finding him and then completely dropped. the subject.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've seen the same thing more recently in the Michael Vaughn case. And that's another case that we covered where, you know, they had the Wandras and they had them listed as suspects. They searched their house. And then police named two other guys that they're like, we need to find these people. We need to find these people. Then nothing. And that was, I think, over a year ago at this point. Investigators also found no evidence of a crime scene at the house, which supported the theory that Diamond willingly walked out with King in tow. Cadaver dogs and tracking dogs were brought in early in the search to see if they could pick up the pair's scent in the area, but those efforts yielded nothing conclusive. Police checked nearby surveillance cameras and spoke to dozens of locals. Despite exhaustive searches, not a single piece of physical evidence was found. Diamond didn't have a cell phone on her, and no clothing, shoes, or any other trace of them has been found. By the one-year anniversary of the disappearance, the case had gone cold. In July 2016, Gary police admitted that they had exhausted all leads and that it had been 6 months since any new information had come in. This was devastating for the family, who felt that more could have been done early on. Over the years, Diamond and King's loved ones have often voiced frustration about the investigation's progress. At times, they felt that the case did not get the urgent attention it deserved, possibly due to biases. Diamond, after all, was a young Black woman with disabilities, and King was a Black toddler. Gary authorities, on the other hand, insist that they pursued every tip. And listen, maybe they did, but again, I just have to go back to the Silver Alert.
Right.
You know, I think it's really hard to argue that they didn't do everything they could have in that crucial first day or two.
Well, to be fair, they didn't say they did everything they could. They said that they followed up with every lead.
Which that's a good point.
Maybe was only that one person that we don't know whether they ever interviewed.
Yeah. And then like the sightings at McDonald's and right. the gas station and all that kind of stuff, which right. again, yeah, like we do have documentation that they did follow those leads. So that's accurate.
So they just followed whatever leads were out there and didn't try to generate any more.
Yeah. I mean, they did go around. They did question people. I'm not saying that they did nothing, but in the early days, especially, it does not seem that they did all that they could have. In a statement on the six-year anniversary, Gary's mayor said, quote, I can assure them the Gary Police Department is continuing the investigation, and we will exhaust any and every lead, end quote. Occasionally, leads have trickled in even years later. In 2022, Gary Police Commander Jack Hamady revealed that some tips had taken investigators as far as the East Coast and Florida to chase down possible sightings, saying, quote, if we can get a good lead, it could be anywhere in the country. We welcome those, end quote. But none of those leads have panned out. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children has been involved as well, especially in helping generate age-progressed images of King as he would look today. In 2021, an age-progressed photo showed King around 8 years old, and another was released in 2022 when he would have been 9. These images were circulated nationwide in hopes that someone might recognize him. Now, before we get into theories, I do want to take a moment to talk more about Prader-Willi syndrome. I had never heard of this before.
No, neither have I.
It's mentioned in many articles about Diamond and King, though most just refer to it as a genetic disorder, right? But whether they use the name or not, it's usually just explained as a compulsion to overeat, which doesn't really sound serious or particularly relevant.
I mean, but the other symptoms are way more serious than the compulsion to overeat.
Yes, because, again, the developmental delays and
right.
the physical, you know, yes, all of that goes with it. And those are kind of in a lot of the articles mentioned separately. But I think the compulsion to overeat is especially important in this case and way more serious than it sounds. So when I was researching this episode, I came across a Reddit thread in which they were discussing, you know, possible scenarios in this case and specifically PWS. Several posters were healthcare workers of some sort who had dealt with it firsthand, and it is horrifying. I also believe that it's a key element in understanding how the disappearance may have unfolded. PWS is characterized by an unrelenting appetite and food-seeking behavior, cognitive disabilities, and low muscle tone, among other symptoms, which we've discussed. Now, the unrelenting appetite isn't just, oh man, I'm going to go raid the fridge. This hunger can drive individuals to go to great lengths to find food. One Reddit user said, quote, "I've worked with two people with Prader-Willi syndrome. That urge to eat is powerful and all-consuming. One of the people I worked with, her family had all food under lock at the time. She had been known to wake up in the middle of the night and eat frozen raw meat from the freezer until she vomited, and then she would start again," end quote.
Jesus.
Another user wrote, quote, "I worked with a young woman who had Prader-Willi. She'd sneak away from me. I'd find her a few blocks away pretending to be homeless and asking people for food or money. She would eat the money as well. She knows she's not supposed to. She would try to escape me once she saw me catch her," end quote.
So it's interesting. I mean, you mentioned that there was a ton of food at the house at right. the time. But the way some of these other individuals have described this, it almost sounds like it's a compulsion on either specific foods or certain behaviors associated with the seeking of food, mm-hmm. not just, I need to eat.
Right. So I kind of thought about that. Like the first poster said that this woman's family kept their food under a lock and key. And what we learned about Diamond's house is that, you know, there was like a cake that was left on the counter. So I don't know if that means that those compulsions were less severe with her or if the medication Diamond was on, because she was on daily medication, if that helped curb that. And while she was on the medication, you know, it curbed it to the point where they could leave food out. But while she was gone, she obviously didn't have her medicine. So I'm wondering if while she was out, the medicine wore off, if then the compulsions really became strong.
Yeah, I'm just looking for a potential reason why they left at all.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if she had some sort of compulsion specifically to go out seeking McDonald's, if
right.
that's where she
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah. Like a specific food that they didn't have in the house.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's the reason why they left to begin with.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because some people have speculated that maybe King got out and Diamond followed him.
Right.
But he's too. So
again, he's not going to go very far.
But I mean, I'm just thinking about him physically getting out of the house. Like, can he even reach the doorknob and get out at that point?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, you know? And so I'm just wondering how likely that would have been if he would have physically been able to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the makeup of the house.
Yeah. Sorry. And if that was what happened, you know, would Diamond have gone without alerting Suzanne?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, and it could very well be that Diamond got up and was like, oh yeah, I need McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah.
And then King, loving her and just being a 2-year-old and like wanting to do stuff, just followed her.
Yeah, maybe. And look, to the listeners that may know more about this than us.
Yeah.
Apologies if we're completely off the mark there. This is the first time I'm ever hearing about this syndrome. So I'm just going off of what you're telling me. And it sounds like it's less I need food right now and more part of the compulsion was the actual process of getting to the food.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know.
Yeah. But that does make sense because, again, family says, yes, Diamond has wandered on occasion, but there's plenty of food at home, so whatever. But if she had, whether it was to specifically seek food or for another reason, if she did at some point become disoriented outside, her first impulse might have been to find something to eat or drink, especially as time passed. And so this could have led her toward a store, a restaurant, or even a stranger's offer of food. Investigators had to consider the possibility that someone might have exploited Diamond's constant hunger. For example, persuading her to come toward a vehicle with the promise of food. And again, I don't think that there's a situation in which somebody like knew about her disorder and knew that this was how they
sure.
could lure her somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't think that whatever happened, if it was foul play, was planned or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm sure it was just an opportunistic crime. But, you know, I mean, you mentioned that there were 70 people on the sex offender registry. And
don't quote me on that number, but it was a lot.
Okay, well, regardless, like more than five?
For sure. I mean, definitely double digits.
Yeah, like that's a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
And if you have somebody, let's say, that whatever the reason is that they wandered out,
mm-hmm.
and that compulsion and that drive kicks in and she's on the street begging for food, it's her and a toddler.
Yeah.
And somebody happens to be there or happen upon them, opportunity, it's right there. It's like,
it is.
I hate to say it. I hate to even think it, but.
Yeah, it is. And so now, since we're already kind of going in that direction, let's talk about theories.
Yeah.
Recently, we agreed to give our youngest son an allowance. The problem is, we never actually had any cash, and so he would do his chores, and we just wouldn't have anything to give him. That's when we started to use Acorns Early. Acorns Early is the smart debit card and money app that grows kids' money skills as they grow up. You can start with the in-app chores tracker and teach your kids the value of a dollar. Then, you let your kids set their own savings goals and start building healthy money habits early. Kids even get their very own customizable debit card, giving them that extra sense of independence. Plus, with Acorn Early spending limits and real-time spend notifications, parents always stay in control. It's truly the easiest way to, one, give your kids an allowance, and two, teach them financial literacy without making it boring. Ready to teach your kids the smart way to earn, save, and spend? Get your first month on us when you head to acornsearly.com/ATTWG or download the Acorns Early app. That's 1 month free when you sign up at acornsearly.com/ATTWG.
Acorns Early Card is issued by Community Federal Savings Bank, member FDIC, pursuant to license by MasterCard International. Free trial for new subscribers only. Subscription fee starting from $5 per month unless canceled. Terms apply at acorns.com/early terms.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Now, of course, there's the theory that they wandered off and succumbed to the elements or some sort of accident. And this is the most straightforward scenario.
Sure.
That Diamond, thinking like the child she essentially was, walked out with King and simply got lost. She might have intended to go to a nearby corner store or a park and got turned around in the unfamiliar streets of Gary. As the days wore on, they could have traveled farther than expected. In this theory, it's possible that they sought shelter or hid somewhere and tragically died by accident or exposure. So, for example, by falling into an unseen hazard or even drowning in a body of water. In addition to its abandoned structures, Gary has many overgrown areas. So the worry has been that Diamond and King could be in some hard-to-spot location where initial searchers missed them. However, after extensive searches, no trace was found in the vicinity, making this theory a little less convincing unless they wandered exceptionally far. But Diamond's father doubts that they could have traveled a long distance without help, given Diamond's physical ailments. In addition to the low muscle tone and the limp, she also had asthma. And this was the middle of summer, too.
Mm.
Plus, she was managing a toddler alone, which isn't something she was used to doing. Still, this theory can't be entirely ruled out. There is a slim chance that they ended up in a concealed spot or even left the search area entirely on foot and just haven't been discovered yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a possibility. And it does, obviously, I mean, look, it makes sense. But it would also be helpful to know what the results were or how the tracking dogs stopped tracking her.
Yeah.
So I mean, my thought process is if these are tracking dogs, they pick up on the scent, they're going a certain distance, and then suddenly it stops, like the trail goes cold for the dog, my guess would be that would mean that she got into a vehicle or of some sort. But like if they wandered down the street or whatever and ended up in one of these areas, I would think that the tracking dogs would have just continued to follow the scent and found them.
Yeah, and my problem with this is that they weren't in a rural area.
Right.
You know, and especially if we are thinking that the McDonald's sighting is real and if potentially the gas station sighting is real.
Or even the Hammond's bus stop
sighting
is real.
Yeah, if any of those is real, right? Like, I get, yeah, at McDonald's, she was looking for food. And I understand that that was like her first immediate concern was like, we need food, right?
Yeah.
But even though she had these developmental delays, they said she acted like a 5 to a 7-year-old. We have a 7-year-old. And I feel like at some point, if he were lost, if he's wandering around, he would tell somebody or ask for help in some other way other than asking for food. And again, Diamond knew her father's phone number by heart, but apparently never attempted to call him. So I can understand, stop one, McDonald's, let's get food. They gave them food. Great. After a while, I've got to think that step two is, let me try to find a way to call my father. Because obviously she's okay with asking strangers for things.
Right.
So it seems to me that she would have asked to use a phone.
Right. Or she would have sought out familiar territory.
Yeah.
And like I said before, gone back to Hammond.
Right, right. And then asked for food there, asked for a phone there, done right. something there.
Yeah.
But to our knowledge, she didn't. And so that's the part that really sticks with me. Because yes, she had developmental delays. That didn't mean she was like 100% helpless, though.
Right.
Now, of course, then we get to foul play. Many close to the case fear that Diamond and King fell victim to an opportunistic predator, just like you were saying. Diamond's childlike trust and King's innocence would have made them easy targets if they encountered the wrong person in the street. One possibility is that a stranger approached them, perhaps offering help, a ride, or enticing Diamond with food for her and King, and lured them into a vehicle. Given that the only real sighting was on that first day at McDonald's, this theory does hold weight. They could have been swiftly abducted and taken far away from Gary. The fact that police identified a local man, Dollar Williams, for questioning suggests that they considered from early on that a nearby individual might have seen or interacted with Diamond and King that morning. Now, this theory remains plausible, especially given the complete lack of evidence left behind. Like, that seems like someone did deliberately remove them from the area. But there have been no solid leads to support this, though, of course, there have been reported sightings in Chicago and, as I mentioned earlier, even as far away as Florida. And that also, again, works for me with her not making the phone call as well.
Yeah.
And so I think kind of going along with this is a hybrid of the two, that they wandered off. That maybe they didn't immediately meet with foul play. They wandered off and, you know, maybe something happened. Maybe they did end up in an abandoned house, but it wasn't exactly abandoned.
Right. Abandoned houses are never abandoned, truly.
Right.
They're not completely empty, especially if you're talking about not a rural area.
Right.
This is where...
Yeah, this isn't, we're not talking about a farmhouse that's in the middle of nowhere.
No, it's a vacant building in a town or a city. So
yeah.
Chances are there's homeless people in there. There's drug users using it as a drug den. Like there's all kinds of things that could be happening in those buildings. And if they happen to be there, that could have been also another opportunity for the wrong person to interact with them.
Yeah. And I can also see a scenario too, where something happened, let's say, you know, going with the foul play issue, and maybe something happened, or even accident, right? Maybe something either accidental or not happened to King, and then Diamond got so scared about what happened or felt guilty or whatever it may have been that she then ran away.
Yeah.
And something happened to her.
Yeah.
You know, so it could have really been a mix, maybe foul play or whatever happened to King and then something accidental later happened to Diamond because she didn't want to go home. She didn't want to call her dad. She didn't want to, you know, face up to the repercussions of whatever had gone wrong.
Yeah.
you know, and I'm not saying that in like a blaming way toward her at all.
No, but you have to think about the mentality of a 5 to 7 year old. Something happens, the first instinct is to protect yourself, lie, hide, whatever, to not be blamed for what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it just could have been a confluence of factors, you know, whether accidental foul play or a combination of both. Now, there is another theory, which, I mean...
aliens?
Almost. Another possible scenario, kind of, is that Diamond and King might have been picked up by someone who intended to help, but then concealed their whereabouts. For instance, if an uninformed Good Samaritan found Diamond and King, they might not have realized that Diamond had a family looking for her. Given her developmental disability, one might have mistaken her for a young teen mother with a child. So maybe somebody took them in, and then due to some misunderstanding, mental health issue, or even fear of authorities, they never contacted the police.
So what this theory is that they're still living with this person?
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Because especially, I mean, there are a lot of reasons why that's impossible, but with Diamond's need for medication and King's visible presence, it's unlikely that they could remain hidden in plain sight for long. And it's been 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
So even if at first they didn't know what was going on, I feel like in the past 10 years, they would have figured it out.
I mean, even if they didn't figure it out, one of the two of them would have said something.
Like, right.
No, you know, King would have said, this is not my mom. Like, yes, okay, I understand. King was 2.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even a 2-year-old, they're verbal. They can speak.
But with King, I can see that not happening. But with Diamond, again, like, she's not going to just join a new family and never say anything again.
Yeah.
Now, as hard as it is to consider, Diamond herself may have been a danger to herself and King. Diamond needed daily medication to stabilize her mood and behavior. And when she misses her medication, Diamond can reportedly have severe behavior problems and even pose a risk to herself. So she, of course, didn't take her medicine with her when she left, and the longer she was without it, the greater the chance was that she could have become confused, agitated, or impulsive. And I think this kind of goes along with what I was saying before, that something may have happened and then she might have gotten scared and hid, and then something potentially happened to her.
Yeah.
So I again, I kind of think that's all related.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's definitely, I think that's a greater possibility than the two of them are just living with a new family.
Right, right. Now, of course, each of these theories has its difficulties, and investigators haven't publicly favored one over the other. What is clear is that something unexpected happened to prevent Diamond, who again knew her father's phone number by heart, from finding her way back or asking for help. If she were simply lost with King, one would think she eventually would have approached someone or have been noticed, kind of like we said. Diamond and King's family members have been living a nightmare for 10 years, but they have never stopped searching or hoping. In the immediate aftermath, Eugene Bynum was resolute. He vowed in August 2015, as the family launched a GoFundMe to fund search efforts, quote, "We're not giving up and we are coming for you no matter where you are. We're going to search every place, every house, every abandoned building. We will not stop until we bring both of you home," end quote. King's mother, Arianna Walker, also threw herself into the search, telling reporters in the early days, quote, "We're just trying to get all the resources we can. There's a lot of abandoned houses. I did like 15 of them yesterday, and it's just so many, so we really need help," end quote. Arianna and her family literally went door to door through derelict structures in Gary in case Diamond and King were sheltering there. The community responded with volunteers and donations, but as leads grew scarce, the active searches eventually slowed. Over the years, heartbreak has taken its toll on the family, but they refused to let Diamond and King be forgotten. Diamond's stepmother, Susan Bynum, struggled with tremendous guilt for having fallen asleep that morning. Fighting back tears, Suzanne described the void in her home, saying, quote, "She's not there. She's my little buddy. It's hard. It's hard," end quote. And I do. I feel so badly for her because she didn't do anything wrong. She was a caretaker and she took a nap. And that's okay. It just so happens that on that day, something unexpected and awful happened. King's father, Joshua Williams, has also spoken out addressing his missing son. Quote, "If he's out there watching, this is your dad talking to you. I love you," end quote. Diamond's mother, LaShan Walker, has been one of the most vocal pillars of hope. Though not present in Gary on the day of the disappearance, LaShan has worked tirelessly from nearby Chicago to keep the story alive in the media. Nearly 7 years after her daughter and grandson went missing, LaShan organized a public awareness event at Chicago's Daily Plaza. Throughout the years, LaShan has maintained a blend of realism and optimism. She acknowledges the possibility of foul play, but pointedly refuses to assume the worst without evidence, telling reporters, quote, "I don't feel like they are deceased or anything. As long as I don't see a body, they don't bring me a body, I'm going to believe no news is good news," end quote. Every year on July 25th, the family marks another painful anniversary, and every year they renew calls for help. They've enlisted organizations like the Black and Missing Foundation to raise awareness of Diamond and King's case, especially highlighting the disparities in media coverage for missing people of color. Candlelight vigils, prayer circles, and press conferences have been held both in Gary and in Chicago. In one instance, LaShan and Ariana joined forces with the mother of another missing woman, postal worker Kiara Coles, at a Mother's Day event to draw attention to their loved one's cases, urging authorities not to let them go cold. And again, just as a side note, because anytime anybody brings up Kiara Coles, my blood pressure raises 5 to 10 points. We've covered her case on this podcast, and it is one of the ones that makes me angrier than any other. Her case is solvable. There is a clear suspect with a clear motive, yet authorities allowed him to move out of state and live his life, barely questioning him. Both of these cases, by which I mean Diamond and King and Kiara Coles, need more public attention and more pressure put on law enforcement. And I'm not going to get into a longer rant, but I cannot let her name be mentioned without at least saying that. And if you want to know more about Kiara's story, again, we have covered her case, and I think we did an update as well. But please listen to it. Please share it. It is one of the ones that is very important to me. As of this recording, the 10-year anniversary of Diamond and King's disappearance just passed, and the disappearance of Diamond Bynum and King Walker remains an agonizing puzzle. There have been no arrests, no confirmed sightings, and no physical evidence discovered. The case is classified as endangered missing, both because King was a young child and because Diamond's disabilities put her at risk of exploitation or self-harm without proper care. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children continues to assist, and Gary police say that the file is still open and investigated as a cold case rather than closed. For the family, the passage of time has been cruel, but has not shattered their faith. They still celebrate King's birthdays each May and honor Diamond on what would be milestones in her life. In 2021, LaShan Walker told reporters, quote, "For it to go months and years like this, it's been an incredible roller coaster. He's been missing since he was 2. He won't remember us, but Diamond probably will," end quote. The disappearance of Diamond Bynum and King Walker is a case that highlights the unique vulnerabilities of those with special needs. But they also didn't just vanish off the face of the earth. They're out there somewhere. And as LaShan and Ariana keep saying, somebody somewhere knows something. They urge anyone with even the smallest bit of information to come forward. In the words of Ariana Walker, quote, "I'm still hopeful that my son is coming back. It's kind of hard to move forward in my life without him," end quote. But she remains ready to welcome King and Diamond home at any moment. Until that day, the search will go on. Diamond Bynum and King Walker have been missing from Gary, Indiana since July 25th, 2015. Diamond is a Black female with Black hair and brown eyes. At the time of her disappearance, she was approximately 4'8" and 210 pounds. She was last seen wearing a white top and blue jeans. Diamond has a bowed leg and walks with a pronounced limp, and she will often walk with one arm bent. She had gold highlights in her hair at the time of her disappearance. Her teeth are misaligned. Diamond was 21 when she went missing. She would be 31 today. King Walker is a black male with black hair styled in dreadlocks and brown eyes. At the time of his disappearance, he was approximately 3 feet tall and 32 pounds. He was last seen wearing a blue t-shirt, red shorts, and white tennis shoes. King was 2 when he went missing. He would be 12 today. If you have any information on the disappearance of Diamond Bynum and King Walker, please contact the Gary Police Department at 219-881-1260. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram and TikTok. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by me, Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketsa. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.